This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We are live online at kpcg.fm and have a live link at thetrumpet.com. Thanks for listening to the program today. We are going to talk about the Feast of Tabernacles. How much do you know about the Feast of Tabernacles? And how much do you think about the details of the Feast of Tabernacles? After the return of Jesus Christ to this earth, God will set his hand to save all of mankind. And mankind will be humbled at that point. They will have gone through the great tribulation and the day of the Lord. And those that come through that time period are going to be ready to be taught God's truth. They're going to have seen that man's way has not worked. Man's way hasn't worked. It brought us to the point of just about destroying ourselves. And of course, Christ said in Matthew 24 that if he did not return and intervene and stop it, there wouldn't be any flesh saved alive. But thankfully, he will stop it. But man will be brought to the point where he will understand finally that we don't know how to live without the law of God. People will be ready to be taught. God created his Feast of Ingathering, or the Feast of Tabernacles, to give us a picture of what that time period will be like, that millennium, when people will be taught God's truth, and the whole world will understand his truth and be given an opportunity to have their minds opened and to grow and to develop the character of God and ultimately to be born into the kingdom of God. And yet, people don't celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles today. Very few do. The majority don't and haven't even heard of it. The Feast of Tabernacles, but it's all in the Bible. God's Word reveals the Feast of Tabernacles. Satan hates this festival of the feast. He hates all of God's holy days. He hates the Feast of Tabernacles. He has no part in it, and he hates it. And of course, he's the God of this world, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. So he has blinded people's minds to the truth of God and God's holy days. But we need to understand the Feast of Tabernacles and its great meaning. Let's look at what the Bible teaches about the Feast of Tabernacles. And we're going to notice a very important point in addition to the truth about the Feast of Tabernacles. Something to consider in the way that we think about God's word and the way that we apply it. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles is the sixth annual festival, and it pictures the coming millennium, as we mentioned briefly, when the whole world will be converted and given an opportunity for salvation. That's what the Feast of Tabernacles pictures. Now, the first thing we want to know in relation to the Feast of Tabernacles is, well, do we still have to keep it today? You can look in the Bible and see that ancient Israel kept it, but what about us today? Do we still have to keep the Feast of Tabernacles? Let's see what God says about that. We're going to look at a few passages today. So if you have your Bible with you, let's look at these together. Leviticus 23 and verse 41, just to establish the fact that the feast is to be kept still today. Leviticus 23 and verse 41, it says, "And you shall keep it a feast unto the Eternal 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. So there's a lot packed into that verse. There's a few points. Now, one of them is that the Feast of Tabernacles is to be kept for 7 days. It is to be celebrated in the 7th month. Now, that's the 7th month of God's sacred calendar. That's in the late summer, early autumn. And you can look more into that. To get more instruction and understanding in the specifics of when it's kept, but that's the time of the year. And also, it shall be kept forever. It shall be kept forever. That's what God says. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month forever in your generations. And the Bible gives details on how the feast is to be kept. Very specific details. Verse 35, here in Leviticus 23, it says, "On the first day shall be an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein." So some details are coming out about this Feast of Tabernacles. Keep it forever. Keep it in the 7th month. Keep it for 7 days. And on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, it's a holy convocation. No servile work. Servile work means basically you don't go to your job that day. You don't do yard work, things like that. You spend the time having a holy convocation, meeting together with God's people at the place God chooses for the feast, and worshiping God. Now, when you read these passages, you'll notice it talks about an eighth day also. That is kept as a holy convocation. But this is referring to the last great day, and that's a separate holy day, and we'll cover that on future programs. So when you read through those passages, if you're not as familiar with them, you could see that, there's an eighth day mentioned. Well, that's a separate holy day. And we'll talk about that in future programs. And again, all of this is covered in many of the books and booklets at thetrumpet.com if you want more insight. And, of course, the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, which is a tremendous course to go through and gets into all the details. We're focusing today on the Feast of Tabernacles, that seven-day feast. And also drawing the point out here that God is very detail-oriented. When we're thinking about the Feast of Tabernacles, we're thinking about God's holy days. Notice how detail-oriented God is. He tells us when to keep it. He tells us how long to keep it. He tells us what to do on certain days. Where to keep it. He's very specific. But yet people aren't that detail-oriented today when it comes to God's word, are they? Not in most cases. Often people will say they are spiritual but not religious. Or they'll say, well, I worship God, but I do it in a different way. I keep a different day. But what we see throughout the Bible is that God is very detail-oriented. He expects us to follow the details that he gives us. Now, my son recently put a desk together for my home office. It was a good learning project for him, and he did a great job on it. But in the course of putting the desk together, he put on one of the legs in the wrong position. Now, he quickly realized it, a little bit frustrated by that, had to undo some of what he did and then fix the problem. But it happened because he missed a detail in the directions. We've all done that. We're trying to assemble something, and we didn't look at the directions correctly, or we didn't pay attention to the details, and it didn't quite work out. So we go back and we fix it. Because if we don't fix it, it won't work properly. You know, the desk wouldn't have stood up correctly. Or whatever we're working on, it wouldn't work correctly if we don't follow the detailed directions like we should. Now think about that. You know, in the physical realm, I mean, would you be fine with someone doing some work on your house or your car and not following the precise details of how to do the job? If you took your car into the mechanic and you came out and said, well, it seems like the car is still not working. And they say, well, you know, I don't know. I just kind of did what I thought might work, but I didn't really pay attention to the details of how to fix this. You'd be furious, right? You know, you would not pay them for the job. You'd say, well, pay attention to the details. I need my car working correctly, or I need my desk put together correctly, or whatever the project is. There's details. There's a plan. There's a way you do it so that it works. Certainly, it's true if you think about, say, a medical situation. If you go to the dentist, you want them to pay attention to the details, right? If you have to have some work done, you want them to numb your mouth first and then drill. You don't want them to forget about those details and drill first and say, oh, yes, right, I forgot. I was supposed to numb you up. You know, we'd pay really close attention to that. And yet, when it comes to God's word, it's far too easy to not pay attention to the details. But the results are far more severe if we don't pay attention to the details of God's word, as we'll see as we go through this program. Because ancient Israel had God's holy days, and yet they didn't pay attention to the details of those holy days. They got loose with the details of the holy days. And eventually it got worse and worse and worse, and they ended up with severe problems, as we'll see. We have to pay attention to the details of God's plan and God's Feast of Tabernacles. Ancient Israel had a problem with those details of how to keep God's Feast of Tabernacles. Now, even though God revealed his festivals to the children of Israel and commanded that these festivals be kept forever, the people soon rebelled. Many finally refused to keep the Feast of Tabernacles on the days God ordained. Is that a big deal? Does it matter? We'll see that it does. And eventually, Israel just didn't keep the days at all. So let's learn what happened and what the results of their disobedience were as we think about the Feast of Tabernacles and we understand more about it. We need to make sure we pay attention to the details of the feast. We'll take a look at what happened to ancient Israel when they forgot those details. We'll do that right after this short break here on Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We'll be right back.
Today's free offer is Herbert W. Armstrong's book, The Incredible Human Potential. During the 20th century, Mr. Armstrong was recognized and respected by leaders in government, industry, and education around the world. He was even known as an unofficial ambassador for world peace. In The Incredible Human Potential, you will learn why man hasn't known the way to peace. Request The Incredible Human Potential. All of our literature is free, and all of your information remains secure. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. Ancient Israel had an understanding of God's Feast of Tabernacles, and yet they did not pay attention to the details that God gave them on how to keep it. It is a slippery slope that they got into. The children of Israel got loose with the details, and of course, eventually they didn't keep them at all. Didn't keep the holy days. Now that has also happened with many of God's people in our time today. There's a whole Laodicean group, multiple groups. And to understand more about that, you can read Malachi's message. It's free at thetrumpet.com. The same thing happened in our time today. People who knew God's truth, who understood the Feast of Tabernacles, used to keep it, thousands upon thousands, and now not as many do. Many are in revolt, rebellion against God. But notice some history here. Joshua 18 and verse 1. It says, "And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there, and the land was subdued before them." This is where God placed his name at that time. One of the details of keeping the Feast of Tabernacles is that we have to go where God places his name, through the government. And he has government in his church, and he places his name in various locations around the world where the Feast of Tabernacles is observed every year. In ancient Israel, it started out in Shiloh. And they went there, and you can see that, and you can look at other passages as well. Judges 21 and verse 19. People were still going to Shiloh. Some were, even though the Judges was a bad time. There were some still keeping the feast. 1 Samuel 1 and verse 3 shows that Samuel's parents, Samuel the prophet, his parents went up to Shiloh to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And you can see that there in 1 Samuel 1. And then God changed where the feast was kept. He changed the location. Notice this in 1 Kings 8, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Eternal out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month." They had the right month, and God here changed where his name was, where people would come to the feast, and they came up to Jerusalem at that time, and he did it through his government. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 9 shows this. This is more detail about keeping of that Feast of Tabernacles there in Solomon's day. It says, "And in the eighth day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days." So now in the days of Solomon, people were keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. And they were doing it there in Jerusalem. But over time, some began to not keep the feast. They ended up not following the details, and we'll get into that as we go along here to see what happened. They had to be corrected because they stopped keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. They stopped following the detailed instructions that God gave them. And this happens in 1 Kings 12. This is when the northern 10 tribes of Israel split away from Judah. 1 Kings 12, verses 32 and 33. It says, "And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month." You might remember some of the history there. Rehoboam was the king in Judah. Jeroboam was given an opportunity to be king there with Israel, those 10 tribes. But he rebelled against God's law. Even though God gave him opportunity, Jeroboam rebelled and it had to do with the Feast of Tabernacles, among other things. It says, "And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month." See, that's not the seventh month. God's feast is in the seventh month, but Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So they did something that, you know, on some level could look like the feast, but they changed some of the details. They did it a month later. They did it in a different location. And of course, what they were doing at that feast was not what God had told them to do, sacrificing unto calves, these idols that they had made, and making up a priesthood of the lowest people that were not qualified to be in that office at all. And verse 33 says, "So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart." He devised it of his own heart and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar, and he burnt incense. Jeroboam assumed that where and when God's holy days were kept didn't really make any difference to God. Assumption's dangerous, isn't it? Oftentimes it is. His action was normal for a carnal-minded person who knows little about who or what God really is. Jeroboam's concept of how to worship God was merely his own human idea. Remember this history. If you find yourself becoming sort of maybe indifferent to some of the details of God's plan, being a little lackadaisical about that, or if you hear somebody say, "Well, you know, I worship God this way or that way or the other way," well, remember Jeroboam. He thought it'd be fine to change the dates and the times and the locations and other details of God's plan, of God's Feast of Tabernacles, and yet it ended tragically. Now, God gave Jeroboam a chance to repent, to change his ways, and yet Jeroboam did not repent of changing the date on which the fall festivals were observed. God very much was concerned about keeping the feast the right way at the right time. 1 Kings 13 gives you the full account, so you can go through that if you have some time. Look at 1 Kings 13, but we'll pick up two verses here, verses 33 and 34. It says, "After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places." Well, God puts people into that office. But here he thought he would do it. Again, not paying attention to the details of how to obey God correctly. Verse 34 says, "And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from the face of the earth." That's the end result of ignoring those details. It became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from the face of the earth. Notice a passage in Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel 20 in verse 2. God says, "Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Eternal that sanctifies them." So he's talking about ancient Israel here, and notice it's Sabbaths plural. So he's talking about the weekly Sabbath, but he's also talking about the annual Sabbaths or the holy days, including the Feast of Tabernacles. He gave those to him. It was a sign, And yet, they disregarded that. Down in verse 13, it says, "But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them." If you want to live, if I want to live and have the prosperity and the joy and the health and those things we look for, then we have to walk in God's judgments, pay attention to his details. But he says, "And my Sabbaths, they greatly polluted. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. But I wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted before the heathen in whose sight I brought them out." So, of course, God did have some mercy there, quite a bit of mercy, on ancient Israel over the years in the wilderness. But he had given them his judgments. He had given them his law and his Sabbaths, and they defiled it. They polluted it. They didn't keep it. Verse 19, it says, "I am the eternal, your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the eternal, your God." And verse 21, the familiar tale, it says, "Notwithstanding the children rebelled against me, they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness." In verse 23, it says, "I lifted up my hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries." Verse 24, "because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols." So there's this history that's given here with ancient Israel from the time they came out of Egypt, and they just were not keeping God's Sabbaths correctly. Not keeping his holy days correctly. They were being polluted. They were into idolatry. They were indifferent to the details of how to obey God. They certainly had religion of some kind, but it wasn't God's religion. They polluted it so often. And eventually, even though God did have a lot of mercy, I mean, they were corrected. They were corrected over the years, and finally, they did have to go into slavery because of their continual disobedience. Chiefly their utter disregard of God's weekly and annual Sabbaths, the Israelites and later the Jews were transported into slavery. And then after 70 years of subservience to Babylon, God had become real to those few Jews as well as to those who remained in the lands of their captivity. And they now knew he was the one true God. They went through 70 years of captivity there. Let's look at Nehemiah 8. And see what happened when these Jews came back, or and some, of course, were still remained there, but when they were reestablished again after 70 years of slavery, their attitude towards the details of God's law had changed very much so. Nehemiah 8, verses 1 and 2. It says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spoke unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Eternal had commanded to Israel." They wanted to hear the law. They hadn't wanted to hear it before captivity, but now after captivity, they certainly wanted to hear the law. After the tribulation and the day of the Lord, people are going to want to hear the law. And some of them maybe have never heard it, but there are plenty that have, and they're going to be very interested in hearing that law again. Verse 2 says, "And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month." Down in verse 18, "Also day by day, from the first day into the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly, according unto the manner." The holy days now held a vivid meaning for the few thousand Jews who returned from captivity. Their eyes were open, and that, of course, is symbolic of what will occur to humanity after the second coming of Christ. They very much were concerned about the details of God's plan after they had been through a very difficult captivity. They did not want to go back into captivity again, and so they, for a time, really paid attention to the details of God's word. They weren't being careless with it. They were not taking it for granted. And that's a lesson for us today as well. God does not change, neither does his law, and his holy days don't either. Let's look at one last scripture today in Isaiah 66 and verse 2. We all want to be blessed in our lives. We all want a lot of growth and a lot of development, and we want a lot of good to come our way. And God tells us how to do that. Isaiah 66 and verse 2. For all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been. God's made it all. God's the creator of all. But to this man will I look, God says, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. He's talking about an attitude there, an attitude of humility where we will tremble at his word. Does that sound like paying attention to details to you? It certainly does to me. It certainly does to me. That's who God looks to. That's who he's going to work with and he's going to help. Is somebody that looks in depth at the details of God's plan, at his holy days, at his Feast of Tabernacles, and trembles before it, says, I'm going to do this the way God said. I'm going to find out where he placed his name. I'm going to make sure I'm in the right spiritual condition and I'm in the right place to be able to go to the Feast of Tabernacles, to keep it the right way, at the right time, in the right location. I'm going to pay attention to those details and not assume, like Jeroboam did, that, oh, it doesn't matter. The Jews found out when they went into captivity to Babylon that it did matter. And they spent 70 years learning that very, very important lesson. Very important to pay attention to the details of God's plan and of his holy days. And there's a lot more on that. You can look at a free book at thetrumpet.com, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, which, and of course, please enroll and take the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course. It's all free, and you can get it at thetrumpet.com. That's all the time we have for today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.